helping you live a life less ordinary, one podcast at a time. This is mygodpod.com. Devotions on the go. A devotion for May 15th, eventually like Jesus. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. Jesus Christ was both God and man. While it is difficult for us to comprehend such a union, the Bible makes it clear that Christ was a man of two natures. Though he was sinless, Jesus was like us in other ways. When we fail, we can draw encouragement from Hebrews 5:8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus had to learn obedience? Who does that sound like, besides your children? It sounds like every Christian who has ever tried, and often failed, to put off the old man and put on the new, Colossians 3:9-10. Though we don't understand how or why the Son of God learned obedience, he did, and he suffered in the process. The way we know that he learned it is because when he faced the greatest test in his earthly life, he said to God the Father, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Luke 22:42. Learning obedience is not easy. If you have recently chosen your will instead of God's, don't despair. You have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Let what you know you will become tomorrow keep you moving beyond what you are today. A Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah. Moments of decision in the presence of God. You're with mygodpod.com. Every week on mygodpod.com finds us featuring a new recording artist. This week's artist is Matt Tapley and his album, Even Closer. The first track for today is All I'm Living For.
I live my
That was All I'm Living For by Matt Tapley on mygodpod.com. Your New Testament reading for May 15th is from Philippians, chapter 1 through 3. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you, all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear in me. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Thank you. We're now going to move into a moment of contemplative prayer based on the scripture you've just heard read.
Hello, God. We'd like to speak with you today. Hey, my name is David. I'm going to be guiding you through a prayer and contemplation exercise today. We're talking 10, 15 minutes maybe. You can do it on the subway or in your room or in your lunch hour, whatever. So let's just try and set aside a few minutes right now and let's really get into this together. It'll be cool. We'll have a good time. The first thing we have to do, if we're going to get into this at all, is this. You want to take a moment and prepare, focus. You want to get into prayer, as I call it. Because you know, you're tired, you're busy. It's worth the time to take a second to shift gears right now. It's the difference between busting down the door and taking a second to knock first and say, can I come in? With God, the door's always open, but you know, you knock. So wherever you are, you're going to take just a moment to optimize conditions around you. A little bit or a lot, whatever it takes for you, you want to make a little sacred space around yourself right now. If you're on headphones and you're somewhere busy or crowded right now, maybe all you're going to be able to do is close your eyes and try and let the background fade a bit. That's great. Maybe you want to ask God now to help you focus a bit. If you're at home or in your office or somewhere private, just take a second to make it easy to pray in peace where you are. Turn the television off. Find a good, comfortable place to sit or lie down or a good window to look out. Whatever you need to do to make this a good place to pray in. Light a candle if you're that kind of person. Don't if you're not that kind of person. Maybe all you need to do is just sit and close your eyes. Whatever, it's good so long as it helps. Now think about your posture. You want to be relaxed and alert. Start taking a few good deep breaths from the stomach, not from the shoulders. You want to take your time at this. There's nothing flaky about breathing like this, by the way. We run on oxygen. That's all we're made to do so. And deep breaths are going to juice up your brain a bit and help you think a little more clearly, relax a little, find yourself a little better able to focus on God. So as you're listening to me right now, just breathe like that, nice and deep. And now we want to go into prayer together. See, it's a central truth of our world that God is here with you right now, wherever you are. God is here right now as you're listening to this, and he knows you, and he likes it when the two of you talk. Honest. So take a moment to make yourself aware of that. Say hello to God somehow, however that works for you. Remember, he's happy to see you. Maybe right now as you're breathing and beginning to greet God, you're beginning to feel an awareness of God. That's great. Hang on to that. Notice that. God is here. And maybe you're not feeling it. That's okay, too. You just want to stay in prayer anyway. Look for it and enjoy it if it's there. And if it's not, understand this anyway. God is still right here. Whether we can kind of feel it, whether we can't feel it at all. He's here, and he knows you, and he likes this prayer stuff. So keep at it anyway. And maybe it's that kind of day where you're going to feel it, and maybe it isn't. Just relax and enjoy the prayer. Maybe you want to pause the podcast here for a moment and spend some time getting focused and into a kind of state of prayer. Maybe you're already focused and concentrated. Maybe you're ready to just get into that right now. Pause it now if you like. Make yourself aware of God, and we'll get into today's prayer and contemplation as soon as you're back. In classic contemplative prayer, there's always a moment where you pause and you ask for something that's called the grace for today's prayer. The grace is basically a moment where you tell God what it is you want to talk with him about today. The grace we are asking for together today, God, is this. That the day ahead is a day where I will be able to remember you are there and notice the light that you are bringing into my life. In the monastic tradition, a concept is spoken of called, in the Latin, Memoria Dei, mindfulness of God. The old monks told us that one of the goals we're moving toward in the Christian life is to become people who are constantly remembering and aware that God is here right now. God is here right now, you know, while I'm speaking, while you're listening. I want you to stay aware of that. Stay in that prayerful state. Remember that you're listening to me talk right now in God's presence and that it's really about the two of you. So stay in prayer. In just a second, I'm going to ask you to press pause and spend a few minutes chewing on a question I'm going to give you, trying to pray through it and to listen for what happens. The question I want you to ask God about is this. What do I know I'm facing in the day ahead? Okay, so if it's night right now, then you're talking about tomorrow. Have a good sleep when you're done this. If it's morning right now, you're talking about the day you're about to walk right into. Good morning to you. And as you're doing this, I want you just to look for two or three things that float up in your mind as you're asking God about this question. Just two or three things you know the day ahead has in store for you. Maybe scary things, maybe normal things, exciting things, things at work, school, home, big things, little things, tall things, short things, whatever. What is ahead for you this day? So press pause in a moment and just chew on that for a while till you're ready to press play again. Remember to stay in prayer. Chew on the question, but do it with God. And look for just two or three things that are going to stick out in your mind about the day ahead. God, what do I know I am facing in the day ahead? Press pause now. We'll talk in a minute. Hey, welcome back. That was probably pretty easy. You're going to stay in prayer now. You're going to press pause again in just a second. The game this time is this. You are going to think in prayer about each of those two or three things, one by one, and you're going to chew on this. If I were to stay aware of God's presence with me at that moment ahead, how will that affect me in the situation? I'm going to repeat that just so you've got it down pat. If I stay aware of God's presence with me in that moment ahead today, how will that affect me in the situation? Got that? You're going to chew on that for each of those two or three things. Take as long as you need with each one, one by one. Just stay with each one for as long as it keeps rolling, and then you move on. Remember that you're praying while you're thinking about this. So come back when you're done, and we'll say goodbye for today. You're asking God, if I stay aware of your presence with me at that moment ahead, how will that affect me in the situation? Come back when you're done, and we'll say goodbye for today. Press pause now. Hey, now all you got to do for today is this. Pray this with me, if you will. God, I forget how here you are sometimes. I'm sure this person listening to me right now does too. For the day ahead, we both want to remember that you're there with us. I know that knowing how close you are will affect how these things go down, and it's going to affect them for the better. So remind us today, God, those things that are ahead of us today, God, really remind us. Do that for us today. In the moment, while it's going on, remind us you're there. And as a Christian man, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, you, whatever's ahead, I hope you'll be able to look back on this next day and realize where God was the whole time. Peace. David, signing off.
Here's more music from Matt Tapley, Lord of Everything.
I've heard your word, listen to your voice, and now I believe anything can happen, nothing is impossible, and things are gonna work out right, 'cause you're in control, Lord of everything. That I I could be more than a conqueror. You said that I am the head and not the tail. No weapon formed against my life will ever work. This is your word, Lord, that you will never. Control every heart and soul will say to you, Lord of everything, yeah, Lord of everything. You will never change, you deserve the praise we bring. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. All the earth will shout the praise of Jesus. We declare the glory of the Lord. So let faith arise. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Hey, let faith arise. Lord of everything. Yeah, Lord of everything. You are in control. Every heart and soul will sing to you, Lord of everything. Yeah, Lord of everything. You will never change. You deserve the praise we bring.
That was Lord of Everything by Matt Tapley. For more information on Matt's music and his album Even Closer, you can log on to mygodpod.com. Your Old Testament reading for May 15th is from the book of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 3.
Chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You'll revolt more and more, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints from the sole of the foot even to the head. There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates.
They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore, the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitents with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the terebinth trees which you have desired. And you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen, for you shall be as a terebinth whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and the work of it as a spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. Chapter 2. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not take up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. People bow down, and each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful sloops, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day A man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Sever yourselves from such a man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For of what account is he? Chapter 3. For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan, and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, everyone by another and everyone by his neighbor. The child will be insolent towards the elder and the base towards the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, "You have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power," in that day he will protest, saying, "I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people." For Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. For you have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, says the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet, therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets and the veils, the head dresses, the leg ornaments and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms and the rings, the nose jewels, the festal apparel and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans and the robes. And so it shall be. Instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. Your Psalms and Proverbs reading for May 15th is from the Book of Psalms, chapters 1 through 3. Book 1, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Psalm 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, There is no help for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah.